If you have your Bible, or however you access the scripture this morning, if it's a tablet or your phone or whatever the case may be, turn with me over to the book of Exodus, and we are going to read this morning a very familiar story in the Word of God. Exodus chapter 3, beginning with verse number 1. Exodus chapter 3, beginning with the first verse. The Bible says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he, Moses, looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, and why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he, Moses, turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And God says to him in that fifth verse, Draw not nigh and put off your shoes from off of your feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said unto me, or he said to Moses, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said unto him, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And God said, And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of that land, out of Egypt, unto a large and good land, a land that flows with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Havites, and the Jebusites, and all of the other ite brothers. He says, Now therefore, behold, the cry the children of Israel has come up to me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians have oppressed them. He says to Moses, and here's where I want you to pay particular attention. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Moses, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I? Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? And who am I that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And God says to him, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When you have brought the people forth out of Egypt, you shall serve God in this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come to the children of Israel and shall say to them that the God of your fathers has sent me, they're going to ask me, What is his name? And what shall I say unto them? And God says to Moses, You tell them, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say to the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, And thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. And this is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. And I'm going to stop reading right there this morning. I ask that you bow your heads and pray with me. Ask the Lord for his help in ministering his word. Heavenly Father, we are grateful today for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that we have sensed as we have worshiped and as we have sang and give praise unto you. We thank you for the presence of God that is in our midst. We thank you for the opportunity that you have given to us to gather in this place to worship thy name. And Father, we come now to the reading of your word, and I would ask that you would just simply anoint me that I may be a blessing to those that hear. Of my own self, Lord, I completely and readily admit that I am incapable and I can do nothing. But if you will touch me and if you will put your words in my mind and your words in my mouth and let what is spoken through these lips of clay come forth with anointing and with power, and let it fall upon hearts that are touched of God to receive. If you will bless us, then Father, we will be a blessing to others. Above everything, I ask that you would glorify your name and that you would edify the listener. Let Christ be exalted and have preeminence in every way here this morning. And we will forever give you the praise and forever give you the thanks. And we ask it in the mighty and marvelous name of Jesus Christ. And everyone in agreement with that prayer said amen. Amen. So as you can see the slide this morning, I want to minister on a subject that I have titled, The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Before I get into the meat of what the Lord has kind of placed in my spirit this past week, I want to begin by sharing with you or just giving to you a little bit of historical background concerning the main character of our text. If you are a student of the Word of God, then you will know that Moses was born at a time when the children of Israel were in captivity. They were in Egyptian bondage. If you study the word or been around church long, you know that when Moses was born, that Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, had sent out a decree that every male child of the Hebrews should be killed and murdered. You also will remember the story, undoubtedly, you are familiar with it, how that Moses' mother placed him when he was born in a basket and set him along the banks of the Nile River. And who would come along and discover this little helpless, innocent child that should have been slain but Pharaoh's daughter? I thought while I was, you know, preparing this sermon and preparing this message this morning, I find it ironic that God can even cause your enemies to take care of you. Hello? So who would find this little child along the banks of the Jordan or banks of the Nile River? None other but Moses' daughter. And that daughter would take him into her own household and she would raise him as her own child. Being raised as the child of Pharaoh's daughter, Moses was a prince in Egypt. I know we read in the Word of God about Moses' past and his history, and let me just tell you, but there are other historical documents that give us a little more information about the life of Moses. Moses would have been considered a prince in the house of Pharaoh. He was educated in the finest schools. He was exposed to the finest social and cultural upbringing that was available to the known world. Josephus, the first century historian, tells us that the first 40 years of Moses' life, he was raised in the palace and that he would become a great general in the army of the Egyptians. Josephus will go on to tell you there in history that Moses was not only considered a great general, but he led more than one successful conquest against the Ethiopians. He was a very celebrated hero. He was a hero in the armies of Egypt, but you know the story. When Moses was about 40 years old, the Bible said that one day he was walking down the street and he saw another Egyptian soldier mistreating a Hebrew slave. And something rose up within Moses and he slew that Egyptian soldier so that he would no longer harm that Hebrew slave. And then word started getting out that Moses had killed a soldier in the Egyptian army. And Moses had to run and flee. Now understand, about the age of 40 years old, he flees to the backside of the desert. He is a fugitive. He is a wanted man. He flees to the backside of the desert, and the next 40 years of his life, he would spend in exile, if you will, on the backside of the desert as a fugitive running from Egyptian justice. Moses' life can be broken down in a set of three 40-year periods. And I realize I'm giving you a lot of fundamental, basic historical information this morning, but I want you to just stay with me for just a few moments because we're headed somewhere. Moses, the first 40 years, he was raised in the palace and he was a general in the Egyptian army. The second set of 40 years, he was in exile on the backside of the wilderness. And then the final 40 years, he was a leader and a lawgiver unto the children of God. And he died at the age of 120. And the Bible said that God himself buried him. But understand, Moses is in exile. He's watching Jethro's sheep. This little bit of history brings us to the point of our text this morning. Moses is on the backside of the wilderness watching his father-in-law, Jethro's sheep. And off in the distance, he sees a bush that is ablaze with fire. And yet the bush is not burnt. How many of you know that is not a common everyday experience? So the Bible says that Moses, his curiosity is piqued and he's stirred to go and investigate. He feels compelled to turn aside and see this wondrous thing. And as he approaches the bush, God saw that he turned aside to witness what was going on. And God speaks to Moses out of the bush. Now understand that Moses is now about 80 years old. He's no longer a young man 40, but now he is about 80 years old. And God speaks to him out of this burning bush. And God says, Moses, Moses, that's far enough. Take off your shoes, for the ground whereon you are standing is holy ground. Take off your shoes, for you are in the presence of a holy one. And this is such a pivotal moment this morning, amen, in history and in the life of Moses, because God was about to ask an 80-year-old fugitive to do something that would seem as if it were impossible. God is about to ask an 80-year-old man to do something that seemed like it would be beyond his ability. God is about to ask this runaway, this slave, this man that has been exiled to the backside of the desert. God is about to ask him to go and stand before Pharaoh and to declare before Pharaoh, "Let my people go." God is about to ask him to do something that seems as if it is impossible. Go and stand before the mightiest king that is upon the face of the earth at the time and declare, God has sent me and God has told me to tell you, it's time to let my children go. And Moses hears the request and the mission from God. And then Moses begins to argue with the Lord. Who am I that I should go? Who am I that you would send me? Who am I that you would ask? Lord, you got the wrong guy. You are barking up the wrong tree. Hello? I'm the wrong man for the job. Moses says, in essence, Lord, you know me. You know that I haven't always done the right thing. I haven't always done the right thing. You know me, Lord. You know that I've made some terrible mistakes in my life. You know that I've made some messed up stuff happen in my life. Lord, you know who I am. Lord, you're aware that I slew a man and killed an Egyptian soldier. I can't go stand in the presence of Pharaoh. I am a wanted man. You got the wrong guy. How many of you know oftentimes when God begins to move upon our heart and God begins to speak to our heart about doing something for the kingdom of God, often we are just like Moses. We want to come up with every kind of excuse why we are not the guy for the job. Hello? I can tell you, and I have shared this with our congregation at times. I can tell you, I was raised in church. I was raised in the house of God. And I learned how to play music in the house of the Lord. When I got old enough, I decided I am going to pursue a career in music. And that led me to playing in bar rooms and honky-tonks and then fairs and rodeos and nightclubs. And I mean, all over the, you know, we started doing front shows for other artists and all that. And I thought I was really headed somewhere. And then all of a sudden, God spoke to my heart and saved my soul. And I walked away from all of that mess. And then God began to deal with me about preaching the gospel. And I was just like Moses. I said, I'm sorry, Lord, you got the wrong guy. I don't know what you are thinking, but you got the wrong man for the job. Moses begins to argue. He begins to do exactly what we do at certain times when God calls us. Moses began to dwell upon his own deficiencies, and he began to dwell upon his own inabilities instead of realizing what God can do with a yielded vessel. If we will just yield our life to him, he is able to do great and mighty things with us. Moses says, Lord, if I go, who will I say has sent me? Because sure enough, they are going to want to know what your name is. If I do go, they're going to want to know what your name is. Look at verse number 13. Moses says unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and I say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they shall say to me, what is his name? And what shall I say unto them? And God answers him, and God answers him in two different ways. First of all, God identifies himself in two different ways. First of all, God answers him in verse 14, and God identifies who he is in relationship with himself. Let that sink in for a moment. God answers in verse 14, and God identifies who he is in relationship with himself. And he says in verse 14, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, the I am hath sent thee. What God was saying was, I am that I am. He was saying, I am one of a kind. There is nobody like me. There is no other God beside me. I am God all by myself. I am capable of doing whatever I desire to do. There is nothing that is too hard or impossible for me. I am that I am. I am Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am the first and the last. I am Elohim. I am the one and only and true God. I am El Shaddai. I am the all-sufficient one. He says, I am Yahweh. I am the Lord God Almighty. He said, when they ask who I am, you tell them there ain't nobody up here but me. You tell them that the I am has sent you. Why did he introduce himself in that manner? He was telling them, I want them to understand that I am capable of doing what I'm sending you to do. I know they think that they are in bondage to the Egyptians and they will never be free, but I want them to understand I am God all by myself and I am capable of doing what I'm sending you to do. So he first of all identifies himself. I am that I am, and he is revealing his relationship with himself. I am the only one and true God. I am the only one and true God. And then secondly, go ahead and look at verse 15. Secondly, he tells Moses who he is in relationship with men. He tells Moses, first of all, who he is in relationship unto himself. And then he tells Moses who he is in relationship with men. In verse 15, it is a statement that the Holy Spirit spoke into my heart this past week as I was studying for this service. And the Lord brought it to my attention. And I believe with all of my heart that he wants me to bring it to yours this morning. In verse 15, God says, and moreover, not just tell him I am that I am, but moreover, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I want you to tell him I am the God of your fathers. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And he's the one that has sent me. And this is his name forever. And this is his memorial unto all generations. Read that again. He says, I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. And I am the God of Jacob. And I ask you this morning to let that just kind of sink into your spirit for just a moment. God is reminding Moses of his relationship with all three of these men. I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. And I am the God of Jacob. This statement this morning that God makes would follow the children of Israel through the rest of their course of history, even to this day. They will refer to Jehovah as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. But this is the first time in Scripture that God introduces himself by that name. You will find it after this countless of times. But this is the first time that God introduces himself as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. This is the first time this phrase appears in Scripture. And here's what the Holy Spirit would like for me to bring to you this morning. When I read the text this past week, something just kind of jumped off of the page and started gnawing at my spirit. He says, first of all, I am the God of Abraham. Well, I will tell you right up front, that's not difficult for me to wrap my head around. I can understand why he is the God of Abraham. The Bible said that Abraham was a friend of God. I can understand why he would say, I am the God of Abraham, because Abraham believed God, and the Bible said that God counted it unto righteousness unto him. I can understand why he would say, I am the God of Abraham, because Abraham looked for a city, the Bible said, whose builder and maker was God. I can understand why he would say, I am the God of Abraham. That's not hard for me to understand. I can understand why he says, I am the God of Abraham. Because when put to the test, the Bible said that Abraham staggered not at the promises of God. When he was put to the test, Abraham raised the knife ready to slay his own child, believing that if God had told him to do it, that God was big enough to raise him up again from the dead. I can understand why, amen, God would say, I am the God of Abraham. Because when Abraham had no seed, God gave him a seed that was so potent and so powerful that it brought Sarah's dead womb back to life. And that seed would step down through 42 generations and come into this world by the womb of Mary. And they would call his name Jesus. But Jesus would step out and tell the Pharisees, I am the seed of Abraham. I can understand why he would say, I am the God of Abraham. I can understand this morning why he would say, I am the God of Isaac. Isaac was the miracle baby. Isaac was the seed. If it hadn't been for God, there wouldn't be an Isaac. I can understand why he would say, I'm the God of Isaac. Amen. Isaac was the fulfillment of his father's faith and favor. Isaac was the fulfillment of his father's faith and favor. I can understand why he would say, I am the God of Isaac. If it hadn't been for God, there would be no Isaac. Isaac was the end result or the culmination of Abraham's faith. He was the evidence of things not yet seen. I don't have a difficult time. I don't have a difficult time wrapping my head around the fact that God would introduce himself as the God of Isaac. I don't have a hard time finding it to believe that he would introduce himself saying, I am the God of Abraham. That seems natural. But when I read that third part of that phrase, I am the God of Jacob. Wait a minute. What do you mean I am the God of Jacob? What do you mean, I am the God of Jacob? Jacob was the worst part of Israel. Hello? The word Jacob means supplanter. Amen. When he says, I am the God of Jacob, I just stopped in my tracks and I went, wait a minute, how can that be? Jacob was a trickster. He was a con artist. He was the black sheep of the family. He was a schemer. He was a scam artist. Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning? That God would say, I am the God of Jacob is shocking. That God would say, I am the God of Jacob, amen, takes my breath away. I can fully understand how he would say, I'm the God of Abraham. I can totally get how he would say, I'm the God of Isaac. But wait a minute. Amen. You're saying you're the God of Jacob? Jacob was a mess. Hello? Amen. If Jacob were alive today in the modern church world, he wouldn't be allowed to sing in the choir. Hello? They wouldn't let him sit on the deacon board. If Jacob were alive in the modern church today, amen, he wouldn't sing in the choir and he wouldn't sit on the deacon board and he wouldn't have any place in leadership because Jacob was a mess. If Jacob were alive today and he was in the modern church world, hey man, he wouldn't be allowed to be a pastor or a bishop, and they wouldn't give him any prominent place of leadership because Jacob was a mess. Anybody understand what I'm saying this morning? Jacob had a messy past. Jacob had some questionable situations surrounding his life, and Jacob didn't always tell the truth. Jacob was a cheat and a swindler, a ripoff artist. And what left me puzzled when I read that this morning, what left me puzzled when I read it was, why would God associate himself with the likes of Jacob? I can get why he said, I'm the God of Abraham. I understand why he said, I'm the God of Isaac. But I don't understand, Lord, why would you associate yourself with the name of Jacob? And again, I remind you this morning, this is the first time that that phrase is used in the Word of God. God has never introduced himself before as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And I'm left scratching my head. And why is it that God takes this moment in time? Why is it that God takes this moment in time as he addresses an elderly fugitive to go and do an impossible work? Why is it that he takes this moment to introduce himself? And I even stopped to think, and you need to just kind of consider it. Stop and think for a moment. Why would God say, I am the God of Jacob, when it was God that changed Jacob's name? Hello? You remember when Jacob wrestled at the brook Jabbok. You remember when Jacob wrestled with the angel, and the Bible said that the day started to break and the angel of the Lord said, let go of me. And Jacob said, I'm not going to let go of you until you bless me. I'm not going to release you until you bless me. And the Bible said that God there that day changed his name and said, you shall be no more called Jacob, but you will be called Israel, because as a prince, you have power with God. Why would God say, amen, I'm the God of Jacob, when God himself changed his name? Why would God take this moment to introduce himself as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? I took it to prayer. And this is what I believe that the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. Could it be that there is a little bit of Jacob in all of us? Could it be that there is a little bit of Jacob in all of us? Maybe it was because as God talked to Moses, he was saying to Moses, I know you killed a man, and I know you think I can't use you. And I know you think that you have done some stuff that disqualifies you for being used in the kingdom of God. And I know you think that you have done some stuff that disqualifies you by having a relationship with me. But I am not just the God of Abraham and Isaac. I am not just the God of the high and the mighty. I am not just the God of the influential and the high ranking. I am not just the God of the prominent and the powerful. I am not just the God of those that have never run amok in their life, but I am the God of the Jacobs of this world. I am the God of the messy and the complicated. I am the God of the down and the out, and I am the God of the outcasts and the castaways. Amen. I came to tell somebody this morning that if you think your life is messed up, I got news for you. The same God that was Abraham's God and the same God that was Isaac's God is the God of the Jacobs of this world. Maybe it was because God wanted to say to Moses, I know you think that you have done some stuff that had disqualified you from being useful in the kingdom of God. But you need to know that my grace is sufficient. You need to know that if I can take Jacob and literally transform him, not just in name, but in deed. You hear what I'm saying this morning? Amen. Maybe it was because God wanted Moses to know, I can take a Jacob and turn him into a prince. I can take a scoundrel and turn him into a man of integrity. I can take an individual that had done some stuff and turn their life around and make them profitable for the kingdom of God. Amen. Let's get real for just a minute. How many of y'all here? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. Don't nobody, you know, elbow your neighbor. But how many of you have done some stuff in your life? I've told this church many times, I have not always been a preacher. I'm not proud of that. I'm just telling you, I've done some stuff. I've been some places I shouldn't have been. I've done some things that I shouldn't have done. I've said some things that I shouldn't have said. You hear what I'm saying? And when God asked me to preach his word, I said, you got the wrong guy. Sorry, Lord, I've done some stuff. Sorry, Lord. I might like to, but why don't you get one of the good folks to do it? Why don't you get one of the good people to do it? I'm the wrong guy for the job. And I'm here to tell you this morning that the only reason is because God is not just the God of Abraham and not just the God of Isaac, but he's the God of Jacob's. He is the God of Jacob's. He's the God of people that have made mistakes. He's the God of people that have had babies out of wedlock. He's the God of people that have been through divorce. You hear what I'm saying? He's the God of the drug addict and those that have spent time in jail. He's the God of not just the good. He said, I didn't come to seek and to save the righteous, but I came to seek and to save those that were lost. That's me. Can you say amen? If he was just the God of the Abrahams and the God of the Isaac, I wouldn't make it. And I got news for you. Some of you wouldn't make it either. But oh, thank God. Thank God he's the God of the Jacob. Thank God he's the God of the Jacobs. He's not just the God of the good and the influential and those that seem like they got their life all together. No, he's also the God of the messed up. He's God of the messy and the complicated and the confused and the down and the out and the outcast and those that have been disregarded and those that have been pushed aside and those that have been ostracized and those that nobody said you'll ever amount to anything. I got news for you. God said, I'll come along, I'll pick you up, and I will make you a prince. I will make you a deliverer, and I will change your life if you let me. I came to tell somebody this morning that God wants you to know that you are acceptable in his sight. But preacher, you don't know, I've done some stuff. God can erase your stuff. God can give you a brand new start from your stuff. We all have stuff. Hello? We all have things that wouldn't look good on our resume. Hello? I came to tell you this morning, the enemy wants to jump on your shoulder and tell you that you are not good enough to have a relationship with God. The enemy wants to jump on your shoulder and point out all of the past mistakes and all of the past failures and all of the past things that he just keeps running before our mind as if it's on a relay tape, just over and over. And he whispers in our ear, you're not good enough and you will never amount to anything, and on and on and on. And I want you to know this morning that the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. God says, I am not just the God of Jacob. I'm not just the God of Isaac. But I am the God of Jacob. I'm not just the God of Abraham, Isaac. But I love the Jacobs of this world. I love the Jacobs of this world. Maybe you are here this morning and you feel like you have some past mistakes that have disqualified you from being useful in the kingdom of God. I got news for you. I got news for you. The same God that was the God of Abraham, and the same God that was the God of Isaac, and the same God that was the God of that Jacob so many years ago, is the same God today, yesterday, today, and forever. And he still loves the Jacobs of this world, and he still has the power to step down right in the middle of your life and bring some transformation and bring some good in your life and make you a useful instrument for the kingdom of God. Don't believe the lie of the enemy. God took Jacob, not only changed his name, but changed his character and made him a prince with God. God not only took Moses, a runaway fugitive, transformed him in a matter of moments in front of a burning bush, and sent him forth as a deliverer and a lawgiver to the people of God. I wonder what God could do with us if we would just be willing and obedient. I wonder what God could do with us. Maybe you are here this morning and you are feeling messed up and rejected, and maybe you are feeling that the stuff in your past cannot be overcome. I came to tell you that God can work a miracle in your life. God can work a miracle in your life. He specializes in broken things. He specializes in taking broken situations and making something beautiful out of them. Glory be to God. He specializes in taking broken hearts, reshaping and remending and remolding and reviving and restoring and setting them back on the right path. Maybe you are here this morning and you understand that he's the God of Abraham. You don't have a hard time understanding that he's the God of Isaac. But you just need to be reaffirmed and reassured that he's the God of Jacob. I want you to understand this morning, he loves you. He desires to take your life and mold you and make you and use you for his glory. He desires to use your life to honor him. Bow your heads all over the building, if you would, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let us pray. Jesus, my Lord and my God, I thank you that you are not only the God of the Abrahams of this world. I thank you that you are not only God of the influential and the powerful and those that have lived a good life. I'm glad, Lord, that you are the God of the Abrahams, individuals of faith, and I'm glad you're the God of the Isaacs. I'm glad, Lord, that you're the God of the Isaacs, but Lord, I am so very thankful that you are God of the Jacobs. I'm thankful that you are God of the hurting and the messed up and the confused and the outcasts and the downcast. I'm thankful this morning, Lord, that you are able to take the Jacobs of this world and transform them and turn them into a prince a princess in the presence of God. Father, I ask this morning that you will take the simple words that I have endeavored to convey to these your people this morning. And I pray this morning, Heavenly Father, that if there be one in this congregation that has been feeling like Moses, like, Lord, you can't use me. I'm the wrong guy for the job. Lord, I've done too much. I've done too much. I got too much stuff, too much baggage, too much to be forgiven, too much to be forgotten. Lord, pick them up in your hand this morning and love on them and let them know that right in a moment of time, you can give them a fresh start in Christ Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I know. I know it in my knower. I know it in my heart. I know it in my spirit. God is speaking to someone right now. God is speaking to someone right now. You know you've blown it. You know you've messed up. You know you've made a mistake. You know you've had failure. You know you have just fallen. And you know that there are areas of your life that are just a mess. I got good news. God is a God of messes. God is a God of the messy. All we have to do is have faith in God. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Are you here this morning and you would slip up your hand and you would say, Pastor Gary, that message is exactly what I needed to hear. I got some messy areas in my life. Yeah, God sees your hands and your hands and your hand and your hand and yours and yours and yours. I got some messy stuff. And I need the God of Jacob to step down right in the middle of my heart, right in the middle of my situation. I want to tell you this morning, you do not have to leave like you came. You do not have to leave like you came. You may have came in here feeling burdened down and feeling loaded down with shame and care and all of those things that unfaithfulness brings, but I got news for you. You can leave here with the joy of the Lord being your strength. God loves you. God loves you. Stand to your feet all over the building. There have been many, many hands lifted here this morning. My goodness. I wasn't going to do this, but I just feel led of the Lord to. Those of you that slipped up your hand, please step out. Come. Just stand right here in front. I know I wasn't going to call you out, but I just desire, if you're serious with God, come on. Just come and stand right here in the front. Glory to God. Glory to God. Those of you that have come forward this morning, I just want you to just tune everything out. Tune everything out around you. And just put your heart and your mind upon the Lord. Just put your heart and your mind upon the Lord this morning. And you begin to call out to the Lord and say, Lord, I feel like a Jacob this morning. I feel like a Jacob this morning. Lord, you know I got some stuff. You know I got some messy places. You know I got some areas in my heart. Looked like a cyclone went through it. Looked like a hurricane blew through there. Lord, you know I got some stuff in my life. And Lord, I need you to be my God. I need you to be the God of Jacob in my life. I need you to bring some transformation. I need you to bring some healing and some restoration and some reviving in my spirit and in my heart. Lift up your hands this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, every single individual that has come forward this, oh my, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Every single individual that has come forth this morning, break the chains and the shackles that hold them bound and release them in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, wash and make clean and raise them up and transform them by the power of your Holy Spirit. In the awesome mighty name of the Lord Jesus, I pray. Lord, let them know right now today, you are the God of Abraham, you are the God of Isaac, and you are the God of Jacob today. In Jesus' name I ask. In Jesus' name I ask.